It is so good to be here. It looks a little different than what it was the last time I was here. It sure looked a lot different. My God, goodness. I'm so thankful to Pastor Brad for allowing me the opportunity to be here. I've been looking forward to it. He kept calling me. He says, I'm going to get you here. You need to come. And, you know, he's got so much energy. My Lord. And I said, I'm going to get you here. And then he called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, look, man, I'm going to be out of town. Will you come and be a part of our service? I said, you bet. To be with this body on Sunday morning. Wow. I want to introduce you to a few people. Y'all, I've got some folks here. My wife, Sheila, is here for 26 years. She's here. Stand up, baby. That's her back yonder. And my son, Matthew, who probably won't want to stand, his buddy, Levi. Mrs. Jesse Taylor, our administrative assistant for Pinebell FCA. She's in the house. Her husband, Jonathan, JT, and their children, they're there. And they're all family, and they actually live here in Petal. So, and they know, of course, anytime that we're ever anywhere, it does not matter where we go, if it's at the church or if it's at the field house or if it's at the gym, if it's at the Rotary, if it's at the Sertoma, if it's at the Kiwanis, we got to tell a joke. Last time I was here, I told a joke. And last time I was here, I always will say, you ain't got to laugh at the joke. But it's a pretty good joke. It's Sunday morning, y'all, so some of us are just so glad to see Sunday morning. Here's the joke. And y'all may have heard it, so if you heard it, don't worry about it. Just listen to me, indulge me. One Sunday, this pastor told his congregation that the church needed some money. And he asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate. So he said that whoever gave the most would be able to pick out three hymns. So after the offering plate were passed, the pastor glanced down and noticed that somebody had placed a $1,000 bill in the offering. He was so excited that he immediately shared his joy with his congregation and said he'd like to personally thank the person who put the money in the plate. A very quiet, elderly, little saintly little lady, all the way from the back, shyly just raised her hand. Pastor asked her to come up to the front. Slowly, she made her way toward the pastor. He told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much, and in thanksgiving, asked her to pick out her three hymns, what she wanted. Her eyes brightened, and as she looked over the congregation, and she pointed out to the three most handsome men in the building and said, I'll take him, him, and him. Even JT laugh. I know you're sorry. y'all, we've been so busy in this job that God gave us, and I'm so thankful that I did not leave this earth before working in FCA. Pray for us. The next 45 days are going to be crazy. Of course, this week the Dixie Girls Softball World Series is in town, and Miss Jessie and them were over there, and Noah came by, a lot of rain. First World Series ever in Petal, good thing. It will pave way for a lot of other stuff that's going to happen here during the summer. So we'll be there and visible from time to time. Friday night, our state director, Bill Buckner, will be going into the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame and Museum. He's a coach of 20 years. He was not known for being a great athlete in high school or at Mississippi State, or really being a great coach, but he's responsible for being the first fully sponsored FCA missionary in the state. It was the state's coaches and athletic directors who said, he's gotta be in there. He's just been this little soft, meek voice in athletics in Mississippi for years. And he's going to the Hall of Fame on Friday. Also Friday night, we'll play a big part in the biggest youth baseball tournament in this state's history, the Dixie Youth World Series in Laurel right down the road. They have three national tournaments going on at the same time. They tell me they'll have 6,500 people at the Sportsplex every day. So we'll be bouncing around there. Also, beginning Saturday is the first of 6 preseason football rallies in 8 days. Our prayer in FCA to have 2,000 or more football players and coaches in a church before they kick off. The Jamborees start on the weekend of the 16th, but we want to have them begin the season the right way. So that's a lot of stuff. We'll be in 6 different counties, dealing with a whole bunch of hamburgers and hot dogs. A lot of coaches, a lot of kids, but they need to hear the word, because a lot of them don't ever come to a church during football season, much less any season. Beginning August 7th, here's something that's cool. Mississippi FCA, the state FCA, will walk the cross, a lytic cross, through all the 82 counties of Mississippi as a joint effort with Mission Mississippi. It will hit our area on August 20th, and on August 30th, the cross will march into the end zone of the Pedal Picayune game. We'll march that thing, and it will be on its way. It'll come from the courthouse, and we got to look at the map and how we're going to take it from, but it'll come. We'll either have it before the game starts, you see this lit cross, and our coaches and our student athletes there, and then after the game, it then leaves. It heads toward Lamar County. So we're excited about that. You know, they can say a whole lot about Mississippi, but they sure enough can't take the cross from us. So it's football season, and then in October, we'll have our FCA Pink Huddle for female leaders of our high school football and high school athletic programs. We ask all of our high schools to send their 2 most influential female leaders for a retreat, and it's going to be special. It's our 2nd one. Mrs. Williams runs that thing, and we just try to get out the way and support her. We're looking forward to that. In addition to preparing for what could be the most amount of schools we've ever had in FCA, we're just budgeting, meeting the needs for Bibles for kids. Y'all don't know. Coach Beach here, you know, he raised, what, $5,000 to get Bibles for student athletes in Pelt High School. We got kids out here that play ball that have never seen a Bible, much less opened it. Mississippi, yeah, that's true. And if you go to the junior college campus and the college campuses, we got kids that don't have a Bible. Only time they've seen it, they've gone to a hotel and seen it in a drawer. So what we do in FCA is we've just set up a different account just to raise money for Bibles. So we're not really concerned about so much. Yeah, we want them to love the Lord and find out who he is now. But the byproduct is to put that seed in the ground now. So by the time they get to be 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, they'll have some idea that God really does call all the plays. So we're trying to get ready for a new office. We're praying to promote some folk. And on our staff, we're just in full blow. And I hope before you leave, you'll go by our little table about there and, you know, pick up one of our summer newsletters, a magazine, look at our Bibles that we give our students. Some of these Bibles, some of this church helped buy a lot of our student athletes in Pedal. Also sign up for our emails of good news. Then you pick up the paper, you all see the bad news. I worked in the industry. Before you got to sports, you got all this bad news. Well, we send out emails, all good news. So get on the email list so we can send you some stuff. Maybe we got some monthly donor cards back there. Every dime will help reach a kid you don't even know. In 2013-14, we'll be on 60 campuses in FCA in our 11-county area. That includes Southern Cary, J.C., Pearl River, and Mississippi Gulf Coast. We're on 400 campuses in this state. Why? It's because those coaches and those athletic directors say, we need it. So we're here. And the Lord has just said, y'all go, do this, and we're just humbled by it. To give you a little taste of what a number of folks, some of you may know in this community, help do, some outside this community do, they help send kids to camp. And we had over 300 kids, which broke a record, to our summer camp in Bellhaven. We had a record number from our area that went. And they did not come back the same. Let's take a look. Y'all see that word, you know, anticipate? I just couldn't shake that particular word all week long. I was telling Miss D I had struggled, and this particular word just kept rolling over, and it's been one that has been in my head since the first of the year. What is that? What does that word mean? Well, the dictionary says it's an emotion involving pleasure, excitement, and sometimes anxiety in considering some expected or longed-for event. In other words, anticipate means awaiting, expectancy, foresight, foretaste, high hopes, impatience, joy, looking forward, your outlook, promise, prospect, trust. Now, if you use the noun of that verb, anticipate, you find some interesting quotes. As Daddy said, life is 95% anticipation. Gloria Swanson said that. An intense anticipation itself transforms possibility into reality, our desires being often but precursors of the things which we are capable of performing. As a guy named Samuel Smile said that. How about this? I look forward to death with great anticipation, to meeting God face to face. Billy Graham. The scriptural foundation and definition to that word, to anticipate, is to have the attitude of the soul that believes in the greatness of God's will and work, First Baptist, yet to be done. To anticipate is to have the attitude of the soul that believes in the greatness of God and his will and work yet to be done. Our scripture this morning is from one of my favorite verses, and it's a real small scripture. Now, I'm not long-winded. They tell me, Pastor Brad, go 40, 45. I ain't going that long. First Peter 1, 8, and a little part of 9. That's our scripture text. First Peter 1, 8, a little bit of 9. Y'all gonna love this scripture. I love the scripture. And if you don't like this scripture, that's okay. You're gonna learn to like it. Wow. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. I don't know what your translation says, but my translation says this. It reads this way. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him. Love that. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him. So let's say this together. Won't you look at the person next to you and say, just look at him, find somebody, and say, and though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I don't see him now, I believe in him. Now say to the next person by you, somebody you wasn't looking at. Let's say it. And though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I don't see him now, I believe in him. I believe in him. I believe in it. All right, y'all can sit down this morning. You know, coaches use that word all the time. Anticipate. Son, you got to anticipate the play. After somebody runs 80 yards for a touchdown, I wish I had $100 for the coach that said, son, you got to anticipate what he going to do. You know, there are actually drills now that they teach football players, all kind of athletes, how to anticipate what's coming next, how to anticipate a tackle, how to anticipate a crash, how to anticipate a challenge. Somehow, get ready, this is going to happen. Church, are we? Are we ready for what's going to happen? Did y'all see this? According to the Christian Post magazine, less than 20% of America goes to church. That's about right, because 80% of all our kids that play ball don't regularly attend anybody's church. Our mission in FCA is so, you know, it's out there. We got all kind of folks to get after. 80%? I read this. I found this interesting. Compared to regular churchgoers, the unattached are, one, most likely to feel stressed out, less likely to be concerned about the moral condition of the nation, much less likely to believe that they're making a positive difference in the world, less optimistic about the future, far less likely to believe that the Bible is totally accurate in its principles. Substantially more likely to believe that Satan and the Holy Spirit are symbolic figures but are not real. The unattached. More likely to believe that Jesus Christ sinned while he was on earth. And much more likely to believe that the holy literature of the major faiths all teach the same thing, even though they use different stories. 80%. What happened? Y'all remember when going to church on Sunday was the stuff to do? What happened? Did we anticipate this happening to us? Have you read this? We see this all the time. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of all rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. You know, I told the missus, also my boss, and I mentioned to Miss Jessie over there how my heart broke. I was this past week at Al Jefferson's camp, and y'all had 400 kids over there in 3 days. You know, Al went over there, gave the kids all free school supplies, a Nike shirt, fed them every day, had the National Basketball Academy come over there. He just loved on them. For 2.5 hours, he had them from classification for youth boys, youth girls, high school boys, loved them, 400 kids, and I saw 6 dads. 6. I talked to 2 on the phone that were concerned about the whole deal in Prentice, Mississippi, right up the road. Lord, what happened? What happened to us, y'all? Whatever happened to Sunday morning? Well, you meet everybody on Sunday morning. Met Mr. Turner back there. He's talking about he'd been married for 61 years. I was rubbing all over him. I'm married 26, and how you get there? Good gosh. Lord have mercy. Whatever happened to families always being, whatever happened to all of that? Did God just stop? Did he just go away? Did he just pull his hands off of us? God, are you still here? And his answer is yes. But us, his church, did not anticipate this. But I don't know why. I don't know why we didn't anticipate seeing all this stuff. You don't like athletes. We're conditioned for this. We're supposed to be. We're people of faith. We should know how to anticipate. Scripture alludes to this. I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and you tell me why we shouldn't be ready. Y'all know a lot of them. Jeremiah 33:3, call me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Ephesians 3:20, my favorite. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above and all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 16:6, I know y'all been working on them psalms. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Psalms 40:2, he also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. That expectancy, that joy we carry, we anticipate him being with us where we go. He conditioned us with his word to anticipate him being with us. No matter what hell is going on, church, we're to do his work. Not be ashamed when we walk out this door being a Christian. Our children are looking at us. We anticipate him showing up. This world's going crazy. World's going nuts. And God's calling the church. Don't get distracted. Anticipate me coming. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to cover your children. I'm going to be with you while you go to and from work. I'm going to be there. But if you spend more time listening to the talk show or looking at the news, you spend more time complaining, I can't get with you. Anticipate me being with you. And y'all know a little bit about that. Some of y'all I know done come on back. Some of y'all just done hung in there because you know a little bit about that word. You just anticipate a little bit of what God's going to do here. Right here on Highway 42 while this city's growing. And all of a sudden he says, I'm going to give you a little something. You give you this little jumpy little short little preacher. And y'all feel this passion. And y'all just don't come here to hear him preach. Y'all kind of figure something's going on over here. So, like I said, I'm not going to be long-winded. We're in the Baptist church, so I got to give you 3 points and then go home. The scripture reads, and though you... What you do for Christ must begin personally. Yeah, me. Hadn't he made a way for you, y'all? Hadn't he made a way? I know some of y'all has been here. I see some of these folks that I need to talk to that have been here for a little while. God's been so good to you. He didn't come by the hospital room when the doctor said something else, and you end up leaving out of there. Some of you got children like, you know, Mrs. Weems and I got, we got 4 of them. Lord knows, if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know where we'd be. He did so much stuff for you. You know, I can't even imagine giving up my own son for anybody. Anything that ever happens here in this community, what it starts with you. That one soul. Not the swivel-headed linebacker who's looking, but you. You know, I'm reminded, it only takes one person to change the world. What you do for Christ will last. It begins with you. The scripture reads, and though you have not seen him, you love him. Do you really love him? I think the last time I was here, I talked about Peter, how Peter was asked, do you love me? Three times. Do you really love him? Love will make you do a lot of crazy things, isn't that right, Mr. Turner? You know, I saw the Eastern Conference Finals in basketball. I was up there looking at it, and, you know, I'm finally getting to Mrs., you know, she likes the Miami Heat. You know, she likes to see him play. And we were watching a basketball game. And in the game in Indiana, this Eastern Conference Finals, and Indiana won. And now, you know, they're over there, and Charles Barkley and them breaking down, all these opinions and stuff. Here's this lady, and she's got this big old yellow sign. It's a madhouse over there at that field house. Indiana had won that game. I think it was game five. And she's only got this sign. Everybody's so excited that this team had won and beat the defending champs. She got the sign. And they go to commercial, she still had it signed. Big old sign. The sign said, John 3:16. Now look, as many people that were in there, they could have easily hit her in the mouth and knocked over. That sister was so bold. Her love for the Lord. She didn't care what they said. She had a sign out there. When you walk outside this church, do people know you're a Christian? Do they know it? Do they know how you walk and talk and act? Do they know you're a Christian? For God so loved the world, he so loved us that he gave. Who do you so love? You know what so means? It means intense. Do you really, really love him? First Baptist Church. And I say to you this, the unsaved soul and the struggling family that's out there on Highway 42, if they come here, it won't be because Pastor Brad is bouncing off the wall. It'll be because God's people so love Christ. The scripture says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him. Y'all remember the story of the blind man in John 9? Where he's standing out there and Jesus passed by. And he spits. And he touches him. And the blind man is healed. And Jesus goes about his way. And the next thing you know, these folk come up there saying, You don't need to be, this is messed up. So they bring him in front of these folk up there, and, you know, they interrogate him, and his parents say, well, don't be asking us, ask him. And they say, only thing I know, I was blind, but now I see.
Have y'all read that story where it says in verse 35 and 38, which is so awesome? The man, he can see. He gone about his business. But after he got through saying, yeah, I know this, I know, I can see, they threw him out the church. He different. Throw him out. He loves, or he walks a little different. Throw him out. The scripture says Jesus went after him. You know what it says? It says this. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the blind man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Lord, I got trouble. I don't make a lot of money, but I believe. Lord, I got sickness in my body. They're telling me stuff that I don't want to hear. But I believe. Lord, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm raising my children in this. But I believe. The only thing he's asking us to do, y'all. You notice in that Jesus didn't ask him if he loved him once he healed him. He asked him if he believed. And if you do, you will anticipate God blessing this house, your house, your workplace, your school, your community, all based on what you believe. All what we talked about this morning briefly was, it begins with you. Love the Lord. And that means loving his people. More importantly, just believe. Anticipate God here in this house. Anticipate God in this community. No matter what the headlines say, y'all, no matter, that's enough stuff that you can talk about every day, but anticipate God. Don't get distracted. He wants to be with you every day, and he wants to cover those children every day. Anticipate him. Now, the next time I come here, I don't even want y'all to call me my name. Just say, that's anticipate. Y'all, I had a good job at Channel 7. I was asked if I missed Friday nights, and I said, no. You don't miss being on TV? No. Why? You weren't there when you visit Greene County Prison and you see former football players there. You weren't there. You weren't there when you have to go to the hospital. See a child having her third baby and she was a star basketball player in the eighth grade. You weren't there. You weren't there. After every sports journal, going back there, and you see some lost child on the gate, or hearing from some constable or deputy say, I got that kid's brother in my jail. You weren't there. Nor were you there when I was standing here in 2009, this same month, over Steve McNair laying there. You weren't there. You don't understand. You sit there and you see, and you ask the question, how many we're going to lose just like that? I'm only standing here because I anticipate the Lord doing something here at home. That if we call ourselves the Bible Belt, that every kid that plays ball will have a chance to meet Christ from the middle school on up. I anticipate, and y'all, I have seen him move. What is the area God gave you? Part of it is this church. Y'all anticipate seeing growth? Do you? Well, just because Pastor Brad can bounce off a wall? What do you believe? Even though you haven't seen him, do you love him? Even though you haven't seen him now, do you believe? Anticipate. Let's stand together. Let's say that again to each other. Turn to somebody. And let's repeat God's words this morning. Repeat this after me. Though I have not seen him. Oh, First Baptist, y'all look like y'all ready for the buffet. Come on, let's talk. We're going to break it down a little more. Though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I do not see him now, I believe in him. Let's do it again. Though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I do not see him now, I believe in him. Now turn to the person on the other side. Even if they're on the aisle, that a boy. Say it again. Though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I don't see him now, I believe in him. Say it again. Though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I do not see him now, I believe. I believe in it. Now let's tell God together something. Grab a hand, y'all. And everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes for a minute. Grab somebody. Y'all repeat this after me. Lord, though I have not seen you, I love you. And though I do not see you now, I believe in you. Say it again. Though I have not seen you, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. You've done it for me. I love you. You came by to see me when I was sick. I love you. Lord, you helped me put food on my table. Lord, I love you. And though
I do not see you now. I believe in you. I believe in you. Now, keep your eyes closed and just anticipate being on your knees tonight before you go to bed. And you've got somebody you're praying for, and you're anticipating God to do something. Let's say it again. Lord, though I have not seen you, I love you. And Lord, though I do not see you now, I believe in you. Would you bless my brother? Would you bless my sister? To my right and my left, I anticipate. I anticipate your blessing. I anticipate your healing. I anticipate your presence. I anticipate your power. I anticipate your spirit. I anticipate you. I anticipate you. I anticipate you to arrive at my house. Father, bless us so that we may bless you today, tomorrow, until you come back for me. I anticipate to see you face to face. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Lord, would you continue to fill your spirit around this house. Lord, bless Pastor Brad and his family. Help us understand, Father, this is not about the world. It's about you. Lord, we have not seen you, but Lord, we love you. And even though we haven't seen you now, we believe. Will we be your people? Will we be your people? They'll tell a dying world that you live. Father, that we anticipate you arriving. We anticipate your spirit. Keep us, God. Keep us. Lord, I pray in advance for a young person or somebody my age or someone that's a little older, and maybe that's just kind of got a little away from you. They got so caught up with what the world's saying, and maybe there's some stuff at home that ain't right. But you're a God that said that you'd never leave us or forsake us. You're a God that says that your arms are always open. You're a God that doesn't sleep. You're waiting on us. If they need to come and get it right, then this altar is open. But Father, if they don't have the courage to come, we ask you to meet them where they are. Come see about this church, these people. You put this church here on this road here for some reason. And Lord, they've grown. But it's not by bodies that they're grown. They're growing by spirit. You can tell it by standing up here. We expect you to do even more, God. We anticipate you being on this house. Father, thank you for this opportunity. We love you so. In Jesus' name we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said.